All right, so we've got a pretty hefty stack of legal documents here that you folks sent our way. And wow, it's like a real Pandora's box of American law, you
It
know?
really is.
Yeah. But no worries, folks. We are here to help make sense of it all. And
Absolutely.
today we're going to go hyperlocal. We're going to focus on how these legal concepts play out in your everyday life.
Yeah, that's right. We're going beyond those, textbook definitions and looking at what this all means in the real world, especially right here where you live in your community.
Okay, so this first document dives right into the different types of legal systems we have in America. And it's a bit of a jungle out there. I mean, common law, equity law, admiralty law. It's a lot to unpack.
Oh, it is. What's so fascinating, though, is how each system has its own unique set of rules and standards,
Yeah.
like different tools in a toolbox. You wouldn't
Okay.
use a hammer to tighten a screw, right?
Right?
You need the right legal tool for the situation.
So it's not just one big law umbrella covering everything.
Not at all. And that's actually where things can get tricky because these different systems can sometimes overlap or even conflict.
Oh.
Yeah, like you could have a local ordinance that clashes with a state law or a state law that gets challenged by a federal regulation.
Ah, so it's like a legal puzzle where the pieces don't always fit neatly together.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And knowing which legal system applies to your situation can really make all the difference. Like,
Okay.
let's say you're having a property dispute with your neighbor, right?
Oh.
Understanding whether that falls under common law, local ordinances, or even your homeowner association rules can be crucial.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
You really do need to know the rules of the game. And it sounds like those rules can change depending on where you are and what issue you're facing.
Right. And speaking of knowing the rules, this document spends a lot of time talking about common law.
Okay.
It's kind of like the foundation of our legal system, based on centuries of legal precedents and court rulings.
So it's like a legal time capsule carrying the wisdom of past generations.
Yeah. In a way, yeah. Common law really emphasizes individual rights and responsibilities. Like, for example, it protects your right to free speech,
Okay.
but it also holds you accountable for any harm that you cause to others.
It's a two-way street.
Right.
Got it. So even though it's rooted in the past, it sounds like common law still has a big impact on our lives today.
Yeah.
How does it actually play out in our local communities, though?
Well, think about property rights.
Right.
Common law principles really dictate how we buy, sell, and inherit property. It also guides how we resolve disputes over things like property lines or easements. And these principles can be particularly relevant in areas with long-standing traditions and established property boundaries.
So understanding common law is especially important for homeowners, landlords, and anyone involved in real estate.
Absolutely. And it's not just about property either. Common law principles influence everything from personal injury lawsuits to contract disputes.
Okay, I'm starting to see how this all connects back to our daily lives. Now, the document also mentions something called equity law. What's the difference between that and common law?
Well, equity law is kind of like the safety net of the legal system, It steps in when the strict application of common law might lead to an unfair outcome.
Interesting. Can you give us a real-life example of how equity law might actually work in our local communities?
Sure, imagine a situation where a local business has technically violated a zoning ordinance, right? But they've been operating in good faith for years. They're providing jobs and services to the community. Equity law might consider those mitigating factors and try to find a solution that balances the technical violation with the overall benefit to the community.
So it's like taking a more nuanced view of the situation rather than just blindly applying the letter of the law.
Exactly. Equity law considers the spirit of justice and aims for a fair resolution, even if it means, bending the rules a little bit. It's about recognizing that sometimes circumstances require flexibility and understanding.
Yeah, that's a really important point. It shows that the law isn't always black and white. There's a lot of gray area that requires careful consideration.
Right. And that's why it's so crucial to understand these different types of legal systems and how they all interact. Knowing your rights and your options can make a huge difference in navigating any legal situation you might encounter.
Absolutely. It's like having a legal toolkit and knowing which tool to use for the job. Speaking of tools, the document also talks about something called statutory law. What's that all about?
So statutory law, that's what most people think of when they hear the word law.
Okay.
It's that collection of laws passed by our legislatures, both at the federal and state levels.
So if it's written down in a law book, it's statutory law.
Essentially, yes. And these laws cover a wide range of issues, you know, everything from traffic regulations to criminal offenses to environmental protections. And here's where it gets interesting. For our local focus, statutory laws can vary significantly from state to state and even from city to city.
Oh, wow. So what might be legal in one town could be illegal in the next.
Exactly. That's why it's so important to be aware of the specific laws in your own community. For example, noise ordinances, leash laws for pets, and even regulations for yard sales can differ significantly depending on where you live.
It's like having a patchwork of legal landscapes across the country, each with its own set of rules and regulations.
That's a great way to put it. And this patchwork nature highlights the importance of local governance and citizen participation.
Okay, I see where you're going with this. So understanding statutory law isn't just about knowing what's in the books. It's about engaging with your local lawmakers and actually shaping the laws that impact your community.
Precisely. Attending city council meetings, contacting your representatives, participating in local elections, those are all ways to ensure that those statutory laws reflect the needs and values of your community.
Yeah, that's a powerful message. It reminds us that we're not just passive recipients of the law, we have a voice in shaping it. Now, the document also delves into a distinction between two categories of offenses, mala in se and mala prohibita. Can you explain what those are?
Of course, mala in se refers to acts that are just inherently wrong, you know, regardless of whether there's a law against them. So things like murder, theft, or assault. Those violate fundamental moral principles and are generally recognized as wrong in most societies.
Okay, so those are the no-brainers, things that are just plain wrong law or no law. What about mala prohibita?
So mala prohibita offenses are actions that are only considered wrong because a law prohibits them. And these are often regulatory in nature, like exceeding the speed limit, parking in a restricted zone, or failing to obtain the proper permits for a construction project.
So the key difference is whether the act itself is inherently wrong or just wrong because the law says so.
Exactly. And understanding this distinction can be helpful when evaluating the severity of different offenses and the rationale behind certain laws. For example, a mala prohibita offense like jaywalking might only carry a small fine, while a mala in se crime like assault could result in, you know, significant jail time.
Yeah, that makes sense. The punishment should fit the crime. And recognizing the difference between those two categories helps us understand the reasoning behind those punishments.
Precisely. And this distinction can be particularly relevant at the local level when you're considering the enforcement of ordinances and regulations you see. Like a city might choose to focus its resources on addressing mala in se, crimes like theft and vandalism, while taking a more educational approach to enforcing mala prohibita offenses like littering or noise violations.
That's a really interesting point. It shows how understanding these legal concepts can inform those community discussions about law enforcement priorities and public safety strategies.
It's all about having that informed dialogue and making sure the law serves its purpose, you know, to protect individuals and promote a safe and just society.
Well said. Now, the document also breaks down the difference between civil and criminal law. Can you walk us through that?
Sure. So civil law deals with disputes between individuals or organizations. It's about resolving conflicts, protecting rights, and seeking compensation for damages. Think of things like contract disputes, property disagreements, or personal injury claims.
So if someone breaks a contract or causes harm to another person, that falls under civil law?
Exactly. In a civil case, the goal is typically to make the injured party whole again, often through financial compensation or some form of restitution.
Got it. Now, what about criminal law that seems a bit more serious?
So criminal law is about offenses against the state or society as a whole. These are actions that are deemed harmful to public order and safety, such as, you know, theft, assault, drug trafficking, or murder.
So the focus in criminal law is more on punishment and protecting society from dangerous individuals.
You got it. The goal there is to deter criminal behavior, hold those offenders accountable for their actions, and maintain a safe and orderly society.
Now, here's something that caught my eye in the document. It mentions that civil codes can sometimes have criminal penalties. How does that work?
That's a great question, and it highlights that interconnectedness of these seemingly separate legal systems, you know. In some cases, violations of certain civil regulations can actually lead to consequences typically associated with criminal offenses, like fines or even jail time.
Wow. Can you give an example of how that might play out in a local context?
Certainly. Let's say you have a local contractor who repeatedly violates building codes, right? Mm-hmm. Putting residents at risk. The city might initially address this through civil penalties like fines or license suspensions.
Right.
However, if that contractor continues to disregard safety regulations, the city might then pursue criminal charges to protect the public.
Ah, so it's like escalating the consequences to deter further violations and ensure public safety.
Precisely. It shows that the lines between civil and criminal law can sometimes be blurry, especially when public safety is at stake.
This is all fascinating stuff. It's amazing how these legal concepts, which might seem kind of abstract at first, actually have a very real impact on our lives.
That's exactly why we're doing this deep dive.
Right.
It's about empowering you with the knowledge to understand the law and how it affects you right here in your community.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay, so moving on to our next document. This one tackles the whole issue of federal law.
Okay.
And it can often feel like a whole different beast compared to state or local laws.
Yeah.
You know.
It is. It's important to remember that federal law has its own distinct scope and purpose, you know. It's primarily concerned with issues that affect the entire nation or fall under those specific powers granted to the federal government by the Constitution.
So things like national defense, interstate, mm-hmm. commerce, immigration.
Exactly. But here's where it gets interesting for our local focus.
Okay.
Federal law can still have a significant impact on your community.
Oh, I bet.
Think about federal funding for things like schools, infrastructure projects, or social programs.
Right.
Those decisions made in Washington, D.C., they can ripple down and affect your local community in very real ways.
That's true. It's like a chain reaction starting at the national level and reaching all the way down to our neighborhoods.
Right. And it's not just about funding either. Federal laws can also influence local policies in areas like environmental protection, workplace safety, and even healthcare.
Wow.
Like, for example, federal air quality standards can impact local regulations on industrial emissions, or federal labor laws can affect things like minimum wage requirements for local businesses.
So even though federal law might seem kind of distant, it can still have a very direct impact on our daily lives.
Absolutely. And this document emphasizes the importance of being aware of both federal and local laws that might apply to your situation.
Oh.
Like, for example, if you're planning to renovate your home, you'll need to comply with both federal building codes and local zoning regulations.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense. It's like having two sets of rules to follow, both of which are important for ensuring safety and compliance. Now, the document also delves into a concept called federal admiralty jurisdiction, which sounds a bit technical. You break that down for us?
Sure. Admiralty jurisdiction deals with legal matters related to navigable waters. Historically, it focused on things like shipping disputes and maritime commerce, but over time, it's expanded to include any navigable waterway within the United States.
Okay.
As well as those used for interstate commerce.
So we're talking about rivers, lakes, and oceans?
Exactly. And here's where it gets interesting for our local focus.
Okay.
Many communities have waterways that fall under this federal admiralty jurisdiction.
Oh. Wow.
This means that certain activities on those waterways, like boating, fishing, or even waterfront development, might be subject to federal regulations in addition to local rules.
Okay, I'm starting to see the connection. So if I'm planning a fishing trip on a local lake,
yeah,
I might need to check both state fishing regulations and any applicable federal rules for that waterway.
Exactly. It's all about doing your research and understanding the layers of regulations that might apply.
That's a great point. It really highlights the importance of being informed and knowing where to find the information we need. Now, the document also mentions something called the Amazing Disappearing Law, which sounds a bit mysterious. Could you shed some light on that?
Sure. The Amazing Disappearing Law isn't about laws literally vanishing, but rather about how their original intent and meaning can get muddled over time through things like amendments, rewrites, and reinterpretations.
So it's like a game of legal telephone where the message gets distorted as it's passed along.
That's a good way to think about it.
Mm.
And this can be particularly problematic at the local level where ordinances and regulations might have been written years ago and haven't been updated to reflect current circumstances.
Can you give an example of how this might play out in a local community?
Certainly. Imagine a town with an old ordinance restricting door-to-door solicitation written back when most businesses operated from brick-and-mortar stores, right?
Okay.
Today, with the rise of online businesses and delivery services, that ordinance might be outdated and no longer serve its intended purpose.
Yeah.
Yet it could still be on the books, creating confusion and potentially stifling new business models.
That's a really interesting point. It shows how legal language can sometimes get stuck in the past, failing to keep up with the changing times.
Exactly. And that's why it's so important to review those local laws and ordinances periodically and consider whether they still make sense in today's world.
Okay, so it's not just about knowing the law. It's about questioning it, challenging it, and adapting it to fit our evolving communities.
Precisely. And speaking of challenging the law, this document also dives into the world of case law.
Okay.
And this is where things get really interesting because it's about how past court rulings can influence present-day legal interpretations.
So it's like building a legal foundation based on the decisions of previous judges.
Exactly. The idea is that similar cases should be decided, similarly providing some consistency and predictability in the legal system.
That makes sense. But how does case law actually play out at the local level, though? Wouldn't most legal precedents be set by higher courts, like state supreme courts or even federal courts?
That's true, however. Local courts can still make rulings that influence how laws are interpreted and applied within their jurisdiction.
Oh, okay.
For example, a local court might rule on a zoning dispute that sets a precedent for future development projects in the community.
Ah, so even local court decisions can have a ripple effect shaping the legal landscape of a community.
Exactly. And this highlights the importance of paying attention to local court rulings and understanding how they might impact your rights and responsibilities.
Okay, so it's not just about knowing the laws on the books.
Right.
It's also about understanding how those laws are being interpreted and applied in real-world situations.
Precisely. It's about being an informed citizen, actively engaging with the legal system, and shaping the legal landscape of your community.
This has all been so insightful and helpful.
Oh, good. I'm glad.
Now, before we wrap things up, I wanted to take a closer look at how this all connects to our own lives and that gap between, you know, the theory of law and the reality of its application.
Mm-hmm.
Because let's face it, things don't always work out the way the law says they should.
That's right.
So let's dive into that in our next segment.
Sounds good.
You know, it's interesting how these legal systems all sort of fit together. We've talked about common law, equity law, statutory law, the difference between civil and criminal law. It's like a legal tapestry woven together from all these different threads.
It is a tapestry.
Yeah.
And speaking of different threads, this document also dives into the world of federal law.
Okay.
And it can often feel like a whole different beast compared to state or local laws, you know.
Right. It can feel very removed.
It can. And it's important to remember that federal law has its own distinct scope and purpose.
Okay.
It's primarily concerned with issues that affect the entire nation or fall under those specific powers that are granted to the federal government by the Constitution.
So things like national defense, interstate, commerce, immigration.
Exactly. But here's where it gets interesting for our local focus.
Okay.
Federal law can still have a significant impact on your community.
Oh, I bet.
Think about federal funding for things like schools, infrastructure projects, social programs.
Right, those are all very local.
Those decisions made in Washington, D.C., they can ripple down and affect your local community in very real ways.
That's true. It's like a chain reaction starting at the national level and reaching all the way down to our neighborhoods.
Right. And it's not just about funding either. Federal laws can also influence local policies in areas like environmental protection, workplace safety, and even healthcare.
Wow.
For example, federal air quality standards can impact local regulations on industrial emissions.
Wow.
Or federal labor laws can affect things like minimum wage requirements for local businesses.
So even though federal law might seem kind of distant and removed from our everyday lives, it can still have a very direct impact.
Absolutely. And this document emphasizes the importance of being aware of both federal and local laws that might apply to your situation.
Okay.
For example, if you're planning to renovate your home, you'll need to comply with both federal building codes and local zoning regulations.
Right. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
It's like having two sets of rules to follow, both of which are important for ensuring safety and compliance. And the document also delves into a concept called federal admiralty jurisdiction.
Uh-huh.
It sounds a little bit technical. Can you break that down for us?
Sure. Admiralty jurisdiction deals with legal matters related to navigable waters.
Okay, so we're talking about like...
Historically, it focused on things like shipping disputes and maritime commerce, but over time, it's expanded to include any navigable waterway within the United States, as well as those used for interstate commerce.
So rivers, lakes, oceans, all of that.
Exactly. And here's where it gets interesting for our local focus.
Okay.
Many communities have waterways that fall under this federal admiralty jurisdiction.
Oh, wow.
This means that certain activities on those waterways, like boating, fishing, or even waterfront development, might be subject to federal regulations in addition to local rules.
Okay, I'm starting to see the connection. So if I'm planning a fishing trip on a local lake,
yeah,
I might need to check both state fishing regulations and any applicable federal rules for that waterway.
Exactly. It's all about doing your research and understanding the layers of regulations that might apply.
That's a great point. It really highlights the importance of being informed and knowing where to find the information we need. Now, this document also mentions something called the Amazing Disappearing Law, which sounds a bit mysterious. Can you shed some light on that?
Sure. The Amazing Disappearing Law isn't about laws literally vanishing, but rather about how their original intent and meaning can get muddled over time through things like amendments, rewrites, and reinterpretations.
So it's like a game of legal telephone where the message gets distorted as it's passed along.
That's a good way to think about it. And this can be particularly problematic at the local level, where ordinances and regulations might have been written years ago and haven't been updated to reflect current circumstances.
Can you give an example of how this might play out in a local community?
Certainly. Imagine a town with an old ordinance restricting door-to-door solicitation, written back when most businesses operated from brick-and-mortar stores, right?
Right, back in the day.
Today, with the rise of online businesses and delivery services, that ordinance might be outdated and no longer serve its intended purpose.
Yeah.
Yet it could still be on the books, creating confusion and potentially stifling new business models.
That's a really interesting point. It shows how legal language can sometimes get stuck in the past, failing to keep up with the changing times.
Exactly. And that's why it's so important to review those local laws and ordinances periodically and consider whether they still make sense in today's world.
Okay, so it's not just about knowing the law. It's about questioning it, challenging it, and adapting it to fit our evolving communities.
Precisely. And speaking of challenging the law, this document also dives into the world of PACE law.
All right.
And this is where things get really interesting, because it's about how past court rulings can influence present-day legal interpretations.
So it's like building a legal foundation based on the decisions of previous judges.
Exactly. The idea is that similar cases should be decided, similarly providing some consistency and predictability in the legal system.
That makes sense. But how does case law actually play out at the local level, though?
Right.
Wouldn't most legal precedents be set by higher courts, like state Supreme Courts or even federal courts?
That's true. However, local courts can still make rulings that influence how laws are interpreted and applied within their jurisdiction.
Oh, okay.
For example, a local court might rule on a zoning dispute that sets a precedent for future development projects in the community.
Ah, so even local court decisions can have a ripple effect, shaping the legal landscape of a community.
Exactly. And this highlights the importance of paying attention to local court rulings and understanding how they might impact your rights and responsibilities.
Okay, so it's not just about knowing the laws on the books.
Right.
It's also about understanding how those laws are being interpreted and applied in real-world situations.
Precisely. It's about being an informed citizen, actively engaging with the legal system and shaping the legal landscape of your community.
Okay, so we've been talking about how case law can really shape the legal landscape even at the local level. But this document also points out that the law as written isn't always how things work out in practice. And that's a little unsettling, to be honest.
It is. There can sometimes be this gap between the theory of law and the reality of its application. And that can be particularly true in local communities where personal relationships, political dynamics, and even historical traditions can influence how those laws are enforced and interpreted.
So it's like having this set of rules, but those rules might be bent or even broken, depending on the circumstances.
Yeah, that's one way to put it. This document really encourages readers to pay close attention to how local officials and law enforcement agencies exercise their discretion, you know? Right. For example, a police officer might choose to issue a warning for a minor traffic violation instead of writing a ticket.
Right.
Or a city council might grant a variance to a zoning ordinance for a project that benefits the community, even if it doesn't strictly comply with the rules.
That makes sense. So it's about recognizing that sometimes a really rigid application of the law might not serve the best interests of justice or the community, but doesn't that create a potential for inconsistency and even unfairness?
Yeah, it's a valid concern, and the document acknowledges that discretion can be a double-edged sword, you know?
Right.
It's important to have checks and balances in place to make sure that that discretion is used fairly and transparently, and that those decisions are made based on objective criteria rather than personal biases or political motivations.
So it's about finding that right balance between flexibility and accountability.
Exactly. And that's where citizen engagement becomes crucial. You know, attending those city council meetings, monitoring local court proceedings, holding elected officials accountable for their decisions. Those are all ways to ensure that the law is being applied fairly and justly in your community.
That's a great point.
Mm.
It reminds us that we have a role to play in shaping the legal landscape of our communities, not just by voting, but also by staying informed and engaged.
Right. This document also spends a lot of time discussing legal terminology.
Okay.
And how the language of law can sometimes be a barrier to understanding.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It even mentions this concept called words of art. Words of art. I've never heard that phrase before. What does it mean in a legal context?
So words of art are specialized terms or phrases that have very specific meanings within a particular field or profession.
Okay.
In law, these terms might have definitions that differ from their everyday usage, which can be really confusing for those who aren't familiar with legal jargon.
Can you give us an example of a word of art that might be relevant to local legal matters?
Sure. Think about the term easement.
Okay.
In everyday conversation, an easement might simply refer to a right-of-way or access.
Right.
But in legal terms, an easement is a specific property right that grants someone the legal authority to use another person's land for a particular purpose, even if they don't own it.
So understanding that precise legal definition of a term like easement could be crucial in a property dispute or a zoning debate.
Absolutely. And the document encourages readers to develop a legal dictionary of sorts.
Okay.
Compiling key terms and their definitions as they encounter them.
That's a great idea.
This can be really helpful when you're reviewing local ordinances, attending public hearings, or even just trying to make sense of legal documents.
That's a great tip. It's like learning a new language. You know?
It is.
The more words you know, the better you can understand and navigate the conversation.
Exactly. And this document emphasizes that understanding legal terminology isn't just for lawyers and judges.
No.
It's essential for anyone who wants to be an informed and engaged citizen.
Okay, so it's about empowering ourselves with the knowledge to understand and participate in the legal processes that shape our communities.
Precisely. And, you know, the document concludes with a rather thought-provoking observation about the legal profession itself.
Oh, okay.
It acknowledges that lawyers often get a bad rap.
Yeah, they do.
But it suggests that this dislike might actually stem from the realities of the profession rather than any inherent flaws in the individuals themselves.
So it's not that lawyers are inherently bad, but rather the system they operate within can be problematic.
That's the essence of the argument. The document contends that lawyers often prioritize the system over the actual law. Choosing to play by the unwritten rules, even when those rules might conflict with principles of justice and fairness.
That's a pretty strong accusation.
Oh.
Does the document provide any evidence to support that claim?
Well, it offers this anecdote of how lawyers might readily agree with a legal principle in a general context, but then hesitate or become defensive when applying that same principle to a controversial area like tax law.
Oh, so it's like they're selectively applying legal principles based on convenience or potential consequences.
Exactly. And the document suggests that this reluctance to challenge the status quo, even when it's unjust, is a major flaw within the legal profession.
That's definitely a thought-provoking perspective. But it also seems like a call to action for both lawyers and citizens to hold the legal system accountable and ensure that it truly serves its purpose to uphold justice and fairness for all.
Well said. The document encourages citizens to educate themselves about the law, to question authority, and to advocate for a legal system that reflects the values of their community.
That's a powerful message to end on. It's been an incredible journey through this intricate world of American law, full of twists and turns and some unexpected insights.
Indeed. And while this deep dive might have raised more questions than answers, remember, the pursuit of knowledge is an ongoing process.
Absolutely.
The more we understand about the legal system, both its strengths and its weaknesses, the better equipped we are to navigate its complexities and ensure that it serves us, the people, rather than the other way around.
Absolutely. A huge thanks to you, our expert, for guiding us through this complex landscape. And to you, our listener, keep questioning, keep learning, and keep advocating for a just and equitable legal system right here in your community and beyond. Until our next deep dive, stay curious.